We're turning again to Ephesians, into the third chapter now, Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll just break into the verse 1. Ephesians 3, and begin the reading there at verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, Lord, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's just bow together and pray unto this God of whom we've just been reading, a God who sent forth his Son into this world to die for sinners such as we, and pray that he would send now his Holy Spirit to speak to your soul, to touch your heart, to encourage you, to comfort you, and perhaps to chasten you, as we've been looking at already just in the reading, that you might know what it is to be a member of his family, and that he might be a father unto you even through the ministry of the word. Our Heavenly Father, we do give thanks that the mystery of the word of God has been revealed unto us in thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, that the mystery of thy purpose and of thy plan in this world and for your people has been shown forth in clarity in the scriptures, in the plainness of the words. And Lord, we come and we desire not to hinder the clarity of the word of God here tonight, but Lord, we desire to show forth the fullness of the possession that we as the purchased possession of Christ can attain to, that we can have in Christ those things that are at our fingertips, those things that have our names written on them. Help us to possess them. Help us to take hold of them. And Lord, as we pray that, I pray that even now, you'd give us the wit and the wisdom to take hold of the third person of the Trinity, the one that has been promised unto our souls, that we might know what it is to be empowered by him, to hear and to preach the word. And Lord, may we all know what it is to witness God moving here tonight, to know God's hand instructing every word, to know his voice being heard behind every thought. And Lord, we pray you just come and have preeminence in every single aspect of the remaining part of this service. Come and move and waken sinners from their sleepiness and give Christians a desire to go and to possess that which God has promised. Lord, bless us now. Fill us with thy Spirit, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. As Christians, as people of God, we have been given gifts, many blessings in this world in which we live. You know, sometimes as believers, we go through life as if it were all doom and gloom. We go through life as if it is simply trial after trial. It's an endurance race. And yes, in many ways, it simply is that. In many ways, you will wake up on Monday morning tomorrow and you will be faced with another trial to add to the list that you've already gathered up over the week that has passed. There will be many things that you will have to face in this world. But the Scriptures, and especially the book of Ephesians, reminds us that in the midst of our many trials, in the midst of our many difficulties, and the doom and gloom that we do face on a daily basis, just like every other person in this world, there is brightness, for there is blessings, many blessings found in Christ Jesus. And if you are a child of God, as we highlighted this morning a number of times, and as we will remind you again a number of times tonight before we're finished, as a child in Christ, you possess the many blessings that He has purchased for you. This morning, as we looked at the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, and especially the verse 14, and reading verse 14 back into the previous verses, we find that we, as the purchased possession, as the church, have been purchased by His precious blood, that we have been forgiven, that we have been freed from the slavery of sin, that we are now made ambassadors for Christ, made children and sons and daughters of God Himself. And as we come to see the next part of the book of Ephesians, the remaining chapters even, I want you to realize that there is much more that we can attain to as children of God. Yes, we have much to rejoice in simply from chapter 1, that we do have many things to rejoice in. The fact that Christ came into this world to suffer a death that we could never suffer for all the people for whom He was given. That we have one that was a sacrifice, a spotless sacrifice at that. One that stood in our place and in our stead as a substitutionary sacrifice, dying in the behalf of His people directly, living in their stead, and therefore giving unto them His righteousness and His glory, that we might be forgiven and be accepted in Him, the beloved of the Father. We looked at that. Secondly, the fact that we were purchased for the beloved, that God from all eternity past had given us to His Son, not just simply that we might be a little pet for Him to look at, but that we might be His representatives in this world, that we might be given His life, that we might be given His grace, His mercy, and a hope that will last for all eternity. For we have been given the promise of being called blameless in the sight of a righteous God, and all the while knowing that we are sinners, all the while knowing that we are failures in this world in which we live, all the while knowing that we are worthless. God purchased us with a price that was high, and the blood that was valuable in the sight of a holy God. As we continue on through this book of Ephesians, just to leave a number of thoughts before you, and this is really the reason my mind was drawn to this chapter, to this book in general. If you actually could turn with me to the book of Joshua for a brief moment, to give you one verse of Scripture that I had intended to preach upon. But as is often the case, our minds are drawn away as we look at different verses of Scripture, as we study other portions of God's Word. And God leads us step by step as to what we ought to consider. And He has led me into the book of Ephesians from the chapter 18 of the book of Joshua, a verse that has been much upon my own mind. If we look there at the verse 3, Joshua 18 and the verse 3. In the context, I would like to take the time to read a number of verses from the previous chapter and chapter 18, but really the context is this. God's people, the children of Israel, had been given a promise. They had been told that God would give them a land in which they would inherit, in which they would dwell, in which they would be seen as conquerors. And up until this point, there were 7 tribes of Israel that had not yet possessed the land that God had promised. And I wonder, are there such people here this evening? Perhaps 7 individuals or more that have not possessed the land that God has promised. The sad reality is there will probably be many more than 7 in this meeting that have not taken the land that God has promised, spiritually speaking. The verse 3 of our reading there in chapter 18 says, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? And this morning we looked at the fact that Christ was not slack in going to possess the promise that God the Father had given Him. You see, from eternity past, God the Father planned to give His Son a people. But the Son had to go to possess the people. The Son had to go to die for that people. The Son had to shed His blood in the behalf of that people. The Son had to send forth the Spirit into the world to draw that people unto Himself. Jesus Christ, the Son, accomplished that which He had been given. He went and he was not slack concerning the promises of the Father. And we too should follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who came into this world to possess us as his purchased possession. And that's what we dealt with this morning, the purchased possession of Christ, the church. You and I that are believers under the head and the king of the church, Christ, the righteous one. And this evening, as we come to look at chapter 2 and 3 and tie a number of things in from the remaining parts of the book, I want you not just to simply see the purchased possession that Christ has in chapter 1, but the remaining chapters of this book tell us about the possession of the purchased. The possession of the purchased. Christ has purchased the people, but that is not the end of the story. And tonight I want you to survey the land that God has promised you as a child of God. And for those of you that are still outside of Christ, out on the fringes of salvation, out on the fringes of his church, outside of Christ, without hope, without salvation, I want you to see what you are missing out on. There is comfort for the child of God. There is much to be thankful for. And there is much blessing to be had. Have you possessed it? As you wake up tomorrow morning, will you get up with this in your mind, a desire to go and to possess the promises that God has given unto you, a purchased possession of Christ? Whenever we look at chapter 1, just to briefly look at that again for a moment, there are many blessings, and this is why my mind was drawn to this chapter in light of Joshua 18, verse 3. Many blessings that we ought to possess. If we go through the book, those blessings are highlighted by the word in. I think we mentioned that this morning. Verse 4 of chapter 1. Chosen us in him. We have the blessing of election. Something that we are not in control of. Something that God in eternity past has accomplished in our behalf. Chosen us in him. We have the next verse down. We mention these again. Adoption. That is surely a blessing of the child of God. That we are brought into his family and into his fold. We have verse 7, redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, all of these blessings that we have, justification, salvation, all these many different facets and characteristics of what God in Christ has accomplished for you and I. And my mind initially went to those many blessings. And you need to be a recipient of those blessings in order to be a child of God. You must come and accept Christ as the one that will adopt you, as the one that has chosen you, as the one that will be able to save you in his precious blood. But there's something more that we must do. And this is where my sermon idea that I had at the start of the week kind of changed completely. Because the book of Ephesians has actually given us an indication of other blessings. And this afternoon, I advise you to go home and to read the book. And I don't know how many of you had the time to do that or if you were able to. But if you read it as one unit, this is why I highlighted this morning, is if you read it as one unit, we'll find that the many blessings that we have in and through Jesus Christ, in the heavenly places in Christ, that is the continual theme throughout the book. We often think about the books of the Bible as having little themes and ideas that are sort of just pockets of information that are disconnected. But as we go throughout the book of Ephesians, all of these things that we deal with, whether it be a chapter 6 with the children, the fathers, the servants, the masters, the wives and the husbands, whether it be the church as we put on the armor of God, all of these things are to be blessings that we must go and possess. All of these things are those things which God has purchased in his Son's precious blood that we must go to possess, that you and I must get up every morning and take a hold of. And it's those things that I want to draw your mind to just as we close this service here this evening. The first thing is the comfort that is mentioned, and we'll come to highlight where these are in the chapter specifically, but there is comfort, comfort specifically in the Spirit. And there is communion of the saints, and there is courage to stand. Comfort, communion, and courage. These are blessings that Christ has purchased for you. These are things that he has laid in store for you, that you might know how to live and to walk a Spirit-filled Christian life, a victorious Christian life, a courageous Christian life, in communion with the church and with Christ, empowered by the Spirit, enlightened by the Spirit. Before we move on any further, take stock for a moment. Ask yourself a question for a brief moment. Do I know what it is to have the comfort of the Spirit? Do I know what it is to have true communion with Christ? Do you know what it is to have true communion in the church? With all the other purchased possession of Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know what it is to go into the workplace with courage? Able to stand. Ready to stand. These are things that we have been promised. These are things that we have at our very fingertips. But there are things that many in the church, myself included, do not take hold of. We're slack, are we not, Church of God? Slack to go and possess the land. Slack to go in light of the comfort of Christ. Slack to be in communion with Christ. Slack to have the courage of Christ. Are you counted as a slack Christian this evening? Are you even counted as a Christian at all? You see, as a sinner would look at this meeting, as they would consider the position that the church has in and through Christ, this is what you are simply missing out on. As you look and as it were, survey the land before us, just like Joshua and the spies did, just like the men that he sent out to describe the land as it's put in the Old Testament, to mark it out, to designate what tribe would take what part. As you look at the cities, various cities that might be before us, cities that are perhaps pitiful in your view, cities and villages that are full of pain and sorrow, villages and towns and cities that are really just dilapidated and places of destruction, as you look at them, do you wonder what Christ could do with them? Do you look at your life and wonder what Christ could make of it? Do you look at your heart and wonder what Christ could do with you? Could he give me courage to stand? Could he give me words to speak? I believe wholeheartedly that God can take up any one of us. No matter what your age, no matter how long you have bit your tongue, no matter how many years of silence you have endured, unable to speak for Christ, I believe God can loose your tongue. I believe that God can give you courage, that God can give you power to go and possess the land, to go and do that which he has asked you to do, to be an ambassador for Christ, to spread the gospel in all the world. As we look at the first point that we have before us, the comfort of the Spirit, there are a number of things that we could highlight, a number of verses, and even as I read through the two chapters again, I thought there's no way I'll be able to go through all of the different verses that really deal with the Spirit of God here. But even verse 22 of the chapter 2, it says, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." The Spirit of God is central to everything. The verse before our text this morning, chapter 1, the verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Christ has sent forth the Spirit into his church. And if you just turn with me as it comes to my mind, a sermon I preached a while ago, I don't want to preach on it again tonight, but a verse came to my mind there in Revelation 22. And you go to the last chapter of the book of the Bible, and just to see, in the verse 17, very briefly, Revelation 22 and the verse 17, we read of Christ coming into the vision of John. He comes into the scene of time. He comes and identifies himself. And the church invokes Christ to come. It says, verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." And that phrase gives us the indication that the church ought to be, or the bride of Christ, which is the church, ought to be a Spirit-filled church. The Spirit of God has been given unto us. He indwells us. He lives within us. He guides us. He instructs us, as John chapter 16 and the verse 13 tells us. That is the purpose for which Christ gave him into this world. The Holy Spirit is in this meeting tonight, shedding light, enlightening our hearts, opening up the Word of God unto your soul, giving you light that you had not had beforehand. And as you continue on in your Christian experience, you must continue on with the comfort of the Spirit, who is the Comforter. The one that Christ has sent into the world to instruct you, to guide you, to help you along your path. To help you even in the place of prayer. To help you in every aspect of life. Leading you and guiding you what to say, where to go, what to do, who to be with. The Spirit is there to instruct and to guide. The Spirit gives us an indication of God's presence. This afternoon, as I was thinking about this, my mind went to Jonah, who fled from the presence of the Lord. How many of us are not just simply sitting back twiddling our thumbs about what God has offered us and the gifts that we have and the blessings that we can be the recipients of? We're not just simply sitting back not possessing the land, but in the negative sense, we're running away, fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Young people, how many of you are running away from God as you go into the workplace or as you go into school, as you go to university? Older folk, as you go to your home, you switch on the television. As you open up the newspaper, as you sit in the quietness of your home, do you flee the presence of God? As you consider the things of the world, do you run away from Christ and the comfort of the Spirit that He has promised? The Spirit of God has been revealed unto us. If you look at verse 17 and the verse 18 of the chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 of chapter 2, chapter 1, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You see, the Spirit of God has been given unto us as a comfort. And no longer can we sit back and look at the city that God has promised us, a city perhaps you might look at and think it is a city of pain, a place of suffering. It is to be a city of comfort for your soul. It is to be a place of blessing to your heart. First and foremost, because of God's presence there in the Holy Spirit, but also because the Spirit reveals unto us His purpose in this world. To reveal unto us the glories of Christ. To reveal unto us the power of God. We see that in the verse 19 it says there, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power?" Christ's Spirit will come and show forth God's power as a comfort to your heart. That is one of the possessions of Christ. That is one of the possessions of His church. A Spirit that comforts, a Spirit that empowers us, a Spirit that strengthens us, a Spirit that enlightens us and guides us into all truth. Are you missing out on that Spirit this evening, child of God? In actual fact, are you missing out in communion, which is the second blessing I want you to note? As you survey the land again for a moment, perhaps you look around you in your family, in your home, your workplace, or whatever the case might be, whatever situation or scenario you might be in, and all you see is division. Even amongst perhaps people of God in your home. Perhaps even in the church here. Division with somebody that you have not spoken to. With somebody that you have some gripe with. And as you sit in this meeting, there is a divide between you and another purchased possession of Christ. Sometimes we can go through a whole lifetime not speaking to those that we ought to speak to. A whole lifetime ignoring those that we will spend eternity with. What a sad reality it is that we do not possess the blessing of communion as children of God with one another. Are you possessing that blessing? It is a blessing. Sometimes you might come to church and think, well, if I go and speak to that person, I know for a fact it will not be a blessing to my soul. Do you think for one moment I'm standing here talking about something I don't know anything of? I know what it's like to struggle to speak with people because of hurt that they have caused, because of pain that they have pressed into your heart, because of bitterness that wells up within our own sinfulness. But God would give us a promise that there is blessing in the communion of saints. Whenever we break down those barriers, whenever we go and we seek to have fellowship with those that we once had no fellowship with, those that we were once aliens from. Look there at the verse 12 down to verse 16 of chapter 2. The verse 12, and the context here is speaking about the division that was between the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, between the children of Israel and the Gentiles. And although the picture here is of a national division, I think there can be an application here for us as individuals in the church. As individuals in the body of Christ. It says that at that time, verse 12, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, all of us, no matter your background, no matter the division that has taken place, no matter the struggle that you have faced in your life, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And that child of God that you've not spoken to has been purchased with the blood of Christ. Is loved with eternal love. Is a possession of your King. How do you view the purchased possession of Christ? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. At the cross, your division should be removed. At the cross, there ought to be reconciliation. At the cross, there should be communion. As you gather around the Lord's Supper, as you gather in the house of God this evening, as you consider the fellowship of the saints, it ought to be communion. For we are fellow heirs, we're told in chapter 3 and the verse 6, if you look there with me, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Fellow heirs, but also fellow citizens. Chapter 2 and the verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know, as we consider the communion of the saints, I think really what the book of Ephesians and what the apostle is intending to do is to reconcile two parties in the church that were divided. Two people, two persons, two divisions, or two sides of an argument that had not been reconciled. And he comes, and in the middle of the argument, he seeks to remove that wall of division that had been in place for many centuries, and he applies the blood to that wall. And that blood removes the wall. Christ himself, if we are in Christ, we cannot be divided, for we are one in him. And as we consider this division that might be in your own heart, that might be in your own home, that might be between you and a fellow child of God, I want you to realize that that is not the end of it. That you may also be experiencing a division from Christ because of your sinfulness. Because of your rebellion against him, yes, he will never depart from you entirely. Yes, you will never be lost if you have been a child of God, if you have had the blood applied to your soul. But I wonder, have you received the blessing of communion? The communion of the saints of God with the Savior. Do you know what it is to be a fellow heir with him? You and I are not children of God, naturally speaking. You and I are not on, as it were, the names of the land that we have been promised to possess. Our names are not there. We are not on the paperwork, so to speak. But as we consider what Christ has done, as we consider the fact that we are in Christ, we are fellow heirs because we are considered to be sons and daughters. As I was thinking about this passage, about the fact that we are reconciled to God and we have communion with God in the fellowship of the saints, that we are fellow heirs, my mind went to my father and to stories he told me about his upbringing. He was brought up on an estate outside Ballinahinch. It's just recently probably got some headlines, or maybe different things have come up because of weddings or whatnot. Montalto is where he was brought up. And he would tell stories about going down by the riverside, playing in the fields. And as a young boy of 6 or 7 or 8, he believed all this land was his. He went and he saw the cattle going into the fields. He went with his grandfather that was working alongside them, and he believed the house that he was living in was his home, as if it was his land. The reality was, my dad's grandfather was a servant in the house. And that the family were just brought in those days, brought together. Dad's not that old, as I say, those days he'll be giving off. But he was brought in and they were just basically put up in that place as servants. And the land was not his. His name was not on the deeds. Unfortunately, the deeds do not get passed on to me for the Montalto estate. But some of us, we maybe live our lives as though we have possessed the land, as though it is our land. Maybe here this evening you are a sinner outside of Christ. And you're here at church. And you think that you have in some way possessed the land that God has promised to his children. In some way that you are, as it were, in communion with Christ. Simply by being here. As you look back over your lifespan, over your time in this world, you will one day realize that if you are not in Christ, then you are not a fellow heir. You are not a fellow citizen. You are not in fellowship because you are not part of the family. And the book of Ephesians draws our minds to this. It brings us to the blessings of each of us as an individual. And in the chapter 5, it brings us to the family as a whole. If you look there, verse 22 of chapter 5, it speaks of the wives submitting unto the husbands. Verse 25, it speaks of the husbands loving the wives. Chapter 6 in the verse 1, it says, unto the children that you are to obey your parents. Chapter 6 in the verse 4, the fathers not provoking their children to wrath. Chapter 6, verse 5, servants be obedient. Verse 9, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of any persons with him. It goes on and it tells us that we are in a family. And that we ought to view ourselves as being in this family. As being part of the family of God. And therefore fellow heirs. Knowing what it is to have communion with our fellow family members in the church. But the chapter 6 continues on. And with this we'll just close very briefly. It tells us there about courage to stand. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have protection here. As a child of God, you have protection in what God has given unto us. The armor of God is that which guides our mind to the truth, the loins girt about with truth, verse 14, to the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, to the feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, a shield of faith. 17, a helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. And the Word of God. These are things that God has given us as a church. That God has given you in His Word. In the means of grace. And in the very fact that you are here tonight. And God gives us these blessings. That we might know what it is to fight against the things of this world that are in high places. And I highlighted that verse 12 in chapter 6. The last part of it, it tells us about the rulers of darkness, the wickedness in this world, that are in high places. But do you remember chapter 1? There's something higher than them. For we have a position in a heavenly place in Christ. And therefore we have victory. As we put on the whole armor of God, as we take courage to stand, as we take that blessing of communion of the saints, as we know what it is to have the comfort of the Spirit, we know what it is to have protection, to know what it is to have peace with God and with men. For we have Christ in the midst. Here tonight, I wonder quite simply, do you have Christ? Are you one of His possession? And are you possessing what He has purchased for you? Just as we close, turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians and to the chapter 2. Colossians 2 in the verse 2. Reading from verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the days ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As we come and we just close our meeting here this evening, we must simply ask again the question, how long are you slack to go and possess the land? How long are you slack to go and possess the comfort of the Spirit? How long will you dwell in the city of pride, in a land of desolation, in a land or a family of division? Will you not possess the communion of the saints? Will you not possess that courage which God gives us in Christ to stand? Will you not know what it is to have the victory of fellowship with Christ in this world? And will you not come unto Him, repent of your sins, confessing your sins, and come to Christ knowing that He is able to give you the strength to go and possess the land which He has promised and purchased even by His precious blood? Let's just bow together as we close our service here this evening. And we trust as we do close the meeting that you will know what it is to search out your heart, to desire the comfort of the cross and the communion of Christ and the courage of the saints, and to possess that land which He has promised. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the Scriptures. We thank You for the book of Ephesians. We thank You for the power of God that is promised unto His people to go and to possess that land that He has promised, that He has purchased. Lord, we ask You just help us, Lord, in doing this. Help us even as we would go to our homes tonight. And may we be taken there in safety, but Lord, also with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let You might give us that host of heaven and to gather around us, Lord, as we would seek to go and possess the land that You've promised. Lord, forgive us for our slackness to date. Forgive us for our holding back. Forgive us for our lack in doing that which God has asked us to do. Lord, give us power even tonight. Lord, we do pray that You just be with each child of God here. Help them, Lord, as they would perhaps go home and to study this passage, this word for themselves. Lord, they might know what it is to glean much from the book of Ephesians. They might be blessed from it. They might know what it is to even be a child of God if they are not saved. Lord, come and speak unto Your people. And come and draw out the family of God for Yourself. And even use the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, and for the glory of Christ, that He might apply even salvation and apply that work of Christ unto the heart of some sinner even here tonight. Lord, come be with us now. Help us and bless the food to our bodies which has been provided. And we know that it is to have the fellowship of which we've just been speaking, and communion, and that division abridged by Christ even on His blood tonight. For we ask these things in His name and for His glory. Amen.